And we continue in our look through the Gospel of James this month of and being encouraged by James to put our faith into action, to be, as James says, doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And last week we looked at James in the chapter 1 and heard him encouraging us to be people who were slow to anger, that when we allowed anger to be a quick response in our lives, it prevented us from being able to put our faith into action, to really being able to see what was going on and how we could be doers of God's word when we were quick to anger. And so we were encouraged to keep recognize that anger was important at times, but to be slow to anger, quick to love, and quick to seek understanding. And this week, we hear pretty clearly that James is talking about how we as people tend to make distinctions, how we put labels and categories and divide ourselves up. And James has some pretty strong words about that. And we hear him speaking quite powerfully in the negative. But there is something here that James is encouraging us to be doing in our lives and in our faith. But we have to hear what he's identifying, something that we should not be doing first. So first, I want to say that James is not the only one who talks about this dynamic in human nature in the Bible. Jesus talks about it, and the Apostle Paul talks about it a lot in his writings too. But it reveals to us that we as humans have been making these distinctions about different people, and we've been categorizing people in different ways for forever. We've been making distinctions about who is in our families and what language they speak and their backgrounds and their traditions, their religions for a long, long time. And it's been something that we as people of faith and of Christian in our Christian faith and community have been wrestling with for a long, long time, from the very beginning. Because if we stop and think about what James is writing here, he didn't just think about this topic, oh, I need to tell them not to do something theoretical. No. Clearly, James had attended a Christian gathering and had witnessed something like this. And he felt like then he needed to address that issue. And in fact, we hear about this in Paul's writings a lot too, is that the early gatherings of the Christian community, of people of faith, were struggling with the issues of prejudice and discrimination and making distinctions of people based upon some kind of external identifier. Now, as humans, we have made distinctions on things for a long time, and not all of those distinctions are bad. Sometimes we need to be able to make distinctions as ancient people of friend and foe. Are we in a situation here where we need to flee or fight? Or we've made distinctions for survival. Being able to identify this person is a part of my family. This is a safe person. This person is threatening me, and I need to remove myself or defend myself. Some distinctions that we make are really meaningful. And there's nothing wrong with also wanting to be distinct as human beings. We have found ways to help ourselves set ourselves apart from other people and to be distinctive in our personalities and in our traditions and so on. All of those things in and of themselves aren't bad. Some of the distinctions we make are beautiful and wonderful, meaningful and important. But I think we can all agree that many of the distinctions that we make are not helpful, are not meaningful, are not beneficial, and especially when it comes to the community of faith, comes to our relationship with God, many of the distinctions we make are downright harmful and wrong. And as James bluntly says, are sinful. So let's look at what's going on here. As I said, it's clear that James was talking about something that he had witnessed or experienced, of how when the early Christian communities were gathering, there was some kind of partiality, favoritism, distinctions being made primarily based upon social economic status. Someone who comes in with fine clothes, someone who in rings and clearly wealthy is treated differently, better, preferentially than someone who comes in who looks like they just walked in off the street because that's where they've been living. James must have witnessed that. I mentioned that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was dealing with that in the communities, the churches that he started as well. He writes in Corinthians about how the wealthy members of the community were gathering together earlier in the day and worshiping and having communion before the workers and the slaves were free from their duties and able to come and gather in community. And Paul was furious that there was that kind of partiality and division within the group based upon wealth and employment. And Paul said, you have to stop that. We as churches have done that from the very beginning, making these distinctions about who is treated better, who is valued, who is even allowed into worship. I vividly remember the story of one Methodist church here in Wisconsin. Won't name names, but in a larger community, I was at as a young pastor had attended a leadership training event and a workshop with a team, a hospitality team, and we were talking about hospitality and welcoming in churches. Kind of what we're talking about here today a little. And one pastor got up and said, you know, we have a real issue in our church that we've been struggling with for a few years and are taking action about, you know. And he described that their church had a really big problem, that they had what they called a narthex Nazi. And like I said, this was a church in a bigger community here in Wisconsin. And this person would stand in the narthex, the kind of the gathering area where you could come into the church and enter into the space, and then you would walk into the sanctuary for worship. And this person literally physically stopped undesirable people from entering into the sanctuary. Now, That's pretty drastic. It sounds like, oh no, we would never want that. But yet, hey, that was in 2000. That wasn't 100 years ago. That wasn't 1,000 years ago. That someone would say, no, you clearly are a homeless person just looking for a warm place to be. We don't want you here. Now, we would all say that's not us. But yet, that was happening. Made distinctions. We make all kinds of distinctions about who's welcome and who isn't. I heard a another joke this week, and it's not appropriate to play, so I have to paraphrase it. But it was shared by a speaker who was speaking, a preacher who was speaking to a church conference, and he told this joke because he was talking about these things in James, and it was just too good not to, you know. So I'll share the Methodist version of this joke. That the guy was saying, you know, I was here in town and going for a walk and walked over this bridge that went over a river. You know, picture the bridge on Highway 51 here, south of, heading south of town, going over Lake Minocqua. And he said, as I was walking, there was a person got up on the edge and was going to jump off the bridge and take their life. And so I ran up to him and said, sir, don't do that. Don't jump off the bridge. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And the guy said, said something. And he goes, sir, you're loved. You know, God loves you. Do you believe in God? And the guy said, yeah, I believe in God. And so, you know, I asked him, are you a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim? What God do you believe in? And the guy said, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, that's great. I'm a Christian too. We have that in common. You know, are you a Catholic or a Protestant? And the guy said he was a Protestant. I said, that's great. I'm a Protestant too. And then I said, well, are you Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Evangelical, non-denominational? And he said, well, I'm a Methodist. And then I said, oh, that's great. I'm a Methodist too. Are you a Primitive Methodist, an English Methodist? Are you a Wesleyan Covenant Methodist? Are you a United Methodist? And he said, well, I'm a United Methodist. And the guy kept going and going and going, all distinctions, until finally there was a distinction that didn't match. And then so then I pushed him off the bridge. Because at some level we have divided ourselves up with labels and identifiers and statuses and things so tremendously. We make distinctions in faith. Who we are, what we believe, who's welcome and who's not. And that's something that is just wrong. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his writings, in dealing with this issue, writes to the church one of the most powerful pieces of prose in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says, when trying to encourage us to stop making distinctions that divide the body of Christ, he says, in Christ, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, there are no distinctions. We are one. There is no longer male or female. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer free or slave. We are all one in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful piece of prose that we hold on to. That's inspiring. And maybe I always get goosebumps when I think of what Paul wrote there. But James, on the other hand, takes a different approach. And I think we need to hear it. I think we need to hear what James is saying. James flat out, you know, Paul writes beautiful prose to try to inspire us. James picks up a 2x4 and starts chasing us with it, saying that when we make these kinds of distinctions, we are sinning. It's as if we are killing people or committing adultery. It's a sin when we make these kinds of distinctions based on these external labels, socioeconomic, gender, sexuality, color, religious backgrounds, language, nationality, culture, whatever. If you make a distinction and keep that person from experiencing the love and the grace of God because of that label or that distinction you've made, you might as well have gone out and shot someone. It's a sin. Not subtle, not beautiful prose. James is trying to be blunt here. That this is something that we can't do. So, I said as we started this that James is going to tell us a don't, but he's also giving us something to do. There is a way for us, as we hear James's words, for us to put our faith into action and to do something. It is human nature. It is a part of who we are to make distinctions, to be able to discern things that are going on, to identify people. That's part of who we are. But what James is reminding us is that the will and love of God to follow Jesus means that there's only one distinction we need to make as a follower of Christ. That no matter the label, no matter the distinction that the world has made about somebody, when we see them, we need to identify and make the distinction that that person is the beloved child of God, is the very person for whom Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for, that the whole breadth and width of our faith was for that person, even if you're looking in the mirror. James brings up Jesus' most powerful commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Sometimes that's the greatest distinction that we make, is how we view and love ourselves. James is encouraging us to set aside all the things that the world labels and identifies us with, and to see one another as the one whom Christ loves. That each person that we look at is a person that we are called to love and to care for, to serve, and to honor as if they were Christ. It doesn't matter if they're Catholic or Protestant. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Muslim. It doesn't matter if they're agnostic or atheist. It doesn't matter if they're male, if they're female, if they're they, them, or whoever. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter anything. If they're old, if they're young, if they speak our language or not, it doesn't matter. The only distinction that matters for us is that they are the beloved child of God. Now, I think this is something that we can truly practice in our lives, because we encounter people all the time, don't we? We're very social people. You know, even if it, again, like I said, even if it is when you wake up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth and you look at yourself in the mirror, every person you see, I want you to say something in your head. I want you to say, there is a child of God, or I love that person, or say, I see Christ in you. That's what St. Patrick said, Christ in everyone I see. But find some expression that makes sense to you that acknowledges that every person, including yourself, but every person, take that moment, and if you need to, say it out loud. That's a person that Jesus loves. That's a person I love. Keep saying it. Keep thinking it whenever you see somebody. It will change our thinking. That is the distinction we as Christians need to make. Everything else doesn't matter. When we make that distinction, we are doing the word, the will, the love, and the grace of God. Because every person is that beloved child of Christ. that beloved child of God for whom Jesus lived and died and rose again for. Every person, no matter the label of this world, before you is the one you are called to welcome and love. Amen.